Motor City Static on the air. This being the 18th day of the third month of the 18th year. 3/18/18.
The day after St. Patrick's Day.
How did you all survive?
Just fine.
I did fine.
You did fine. Alan Maestri is with us this evening. Was it a quiet night for you, Alan?
I went to bed at 9 o'clock.
Smart man.
I left my house at 10 o'clock.
Hazard?
I was in bed by 9:30.
There you go. Three of us out of the four had a...
Well, I got a reputation to uphold.
I know. I was almost half expecting you to invite me out there, Chuck, but you didn't because you're selfish.
No, because I didn't go out till 10 o'clock.
Well, I was waiting by the phone.
At 10 o'clock?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know. Sorry.
I was curled up going, gee, I wish
Chuck would call. I got nothing going on. It's St. Patrick's Day, and I just want to be somewhere.
Did you see the shirt that our colleague Bill Szymanski had posted on Facebook yesterday?
Yeah.
That was funny.
It's I'm trying to remember what it said.
It said, everybody's Irish on St. Patrick's Day except for the Polish. They're still Polish.
I love that guy. He's funny. He's a feisty little Polish person.
And did you see the joke that our other colleague, Dr. Robert Livinoy, had posted on Facebook?
No, what did he say?
Oh, man, I was hoping you'd seen it.
Nope.
It said, well, the punchline was patio furniture.
Yeah, that's...
I'll get to it. I'll pull it up.
Pull it up and we'll go at it. But patio furniture,
what's green all year round, or what's green?
What's green and stays outside all year round? Something like that.
Yeah. Okay.
Patio furniture.
All right. If you didn't know by now, we've got a special guest, Alan Maestri, stopping by. We were supposed to have Eric Ozarzak in with us, but he begged off because he's traveling up to Ludington, I believe. He's got a gig tomorrow. He's an IT professional.
Oh, well, he could have helped me with my computer problem.
He could have. So he sends his regrets, and we'll reschedule maybe for later on. So
sounds good.
I was going to have a three-person mini Utica Ford reunion here, Alan.
Okay, well, we have what, a two-person?
Two-person, okay. Yeah, just the two of us.
Well, two out of three.
Yeah. But it would have been nice because Eric had a career as an extra in the movies.
Yes, I understand that.
And I wanted to figure out how that went, how he got into it, and all that fun stuff. But we'll save it for later.
Oh, yeah, some other time. Absolutely.
All right, let's do our disclaimer and do this and then have some fun.
Okay.
The views and comments expressed on the following program do not reflect those of the Avondale or Bloomfield Hills school districts, their respective school boards, superintendents, managers, teachers, or staff, or the staff of WBFH, its management, or staff either. In fact, the only person responsible for the content of the following program is
Hazard.
If you happen to be offended by what we say and are forced to flee to your locally designated safe place, we humbly apologize beforehand. We mean no harm and certainly have no agenda. We're just exercising our privilege to take the transmitter out for a short drive this evening. What a beautiful evening. Spring is a few days away. Once we're done, we'll return the keys to the transmitter shack and then duck out the back door. So please don't call the cops. Can't afford bail. Instead, just relax and enjoy our little old dog and pony show.
It's time to dust off the Atwater Kent and have another go at it. Bloomfield Community Radio presents Motor City Static, the only live and local thing happening this side of the railroad tracks. Turn off that TV. Put down that cell phone. Throw away that trashy novel.
But it was the pictures anyway.
We've got a better way to waste your quality time. And all you need to do is pay attention. From the studios somewhere near the Grand Trunk Western, Motor City Static is on the air.
Emanating from the luxurious yet not overly ostentatious confines of a studio near the Grand Trunk Western.
Hey.
Hate when that happens.
I found Bob's joke.
Oh, you did?
Yes. What's Irish and stays out all night long?
What?
Patio furniture.
That's funny.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we're here.
We are indeed.
Another Sunday night in the Motor City. You didn't think I'd make it back in time with the theme playing, did you?
I knew you would. You're a professional.
I forgot my show prep upstairs in the green room.
Oh, geez.
So here we are on two great radio stations, 88.1 FM, WBFH Bloomfield Hills, and 89.5 WAHS Auburn Hills. Ron Chuck Hazard and our special guest, Alan Maestri. Hello, Alan.
Hi, Ron.
Nice to see you again.
Well, nice to see all of you again.
So, what's been happening? Just hanging out?
Life is good. I mean, I've been teaching up the road at Orchard Lake St. Mary's Preparatory for just over 12 years now.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. This is my second year teaching on site at Madonna University in Livonia. I am teaching calculus and an intro real analysis class, which is primarily for math majors, some computer science majors. And this September, I plan on starting a master's program of my own at Madonna University. This will be my second master's. I already have one from Oakland University in applied statistics.
Congratulations on that.
Thank you. Thank you. I look forward to it.
What will this one be in?
Leadership.
Oh.
Leadership.
Nice.
Educational leadership, right?
Not specifically. It's more of a, I mean, the name of the program is Master of Liberal Studies and Leadership. It's kind of a generic leadership, humanities type of degree, but it's certainly applicable to what I do because I am acting as department head for the math department at Orchard Lake St. Mary's.
Well, I don't want to embarrass Jeff Hazard, but he's working on a double master's himself.
Awesome.
Yeah, he just enrolled a master's degree in what up and house cleaning.
Yeah, what up?
So.
Congratulations.
It'll go well.
Hey, his dissertation would be interesting to read.
Yes, it would.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. But will the credits transfer?
I don't know.
My first dissertation was people watching at Walmart.
When did trolling come in? You don't have a degree in that? Self-taught on that one.
I'm a PhD on that one.
You guys are funny. Well, anyway, we're going to be on the air till 11 o'clock tonight. This is the best radio broadcast you'll hear all weekend. Motor City Static. MotorCityStatic.com is the webpage. As I mentioned, thank you very much to our friends at WAHS for carrying this program week after week after week. Even though we seem to be driving listeners away, they air it in fulfillment of their public service criteria needed by the FCC.
Okay.
How'd Pete's thing go yesterday?
It went very well, thanks for asking.
Yeah? How is he? Is he enjoying retirement?
He loves retirement.
Does he look relaxed?
Yes, he looks very relaxed.
Was he glad to be back in the school?
Yeah, he was glad to be back in the school.
Was it well attended?
He was glad to be back in the school.
Excellent.
No, we had several people there. It was a nice crowd. We had about 25 people. I was there. And we had Rob Glass, our superintendent, said a few words. Paul Colin, our vice president of the school board, said a few words. Charlie Hollerith, the principal, hosted the event. And it was his little party there. And I said a few words. We had some students. Scott the Gator Anderson was there.
Was he really?
Yep.
Did you tell him I'm his biggest fan?
Yep.
Good. And did he call you Uncle Ron?
No. He doesn't say much to me these days. I don't know why.
No?
No, it's just, hey, how you doing?
Maybe he's intimidated by your celebrity.
No, I don't think so. I do not think so. So we had a nice time there. I said a few words, and I think my speech went over okay.
That's good. Did you have any grub?
Oh, we had cookies and water.
Excellent.
So, you know, something.
Nothing wrong with that.
It was done in about 49 minutes. We spent an hour there.
Okay.
It's very neat, very touching, very emotional. Pete and Claudia were there, and Adam, Pete's son, was not scheduled to be there, but he showed up as a surprise to his father, which I thought was very
is
cool.
Is Adam the one that we met at the Dream Cruise that year?
No, that was Eric.
Okay.
Adam flew in from Atlanta.
And didn't tell him? Yeah. He had no idea he was going to be there.
Had no idea at all.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that was cool.
That is cool.
So we had a nice afternoon there. And what else did I want to say about that? Sign looks nice. It's on the website. It'll be on the website WBFH.FM. So we'll update that this week, get some pictures and that.
Okay.
And that was about it. And then came home, just was lazy for the afternoon, and hung out and did absolutely nothing.
Oh, well.
Sounds like a good day.
Yeah, it's always a good day here. All right. All of our regular features are here. We're going to have This Week in Rock History.
This Week in Music.
Around This Week in Music. I'm sorry. This I keep screwing that up. And then, of course, Big Words with Ron. Last week I was humiliated.
You were. Let me see what our producer did for us this week. I think you'll get the first one.
Alan's going to have to help me with these.
I'll do what I can.
All right.
Second one you might have a little bit of trouble with.
Okay.
Not to make you nervous or anything. Third one you should have no problem. What is it with these words, Hazard?
Yeah, I know.
You didn't spend very much time on it this week, did you?
Softballs?
Yeah, you get a couple of softballs. You get three softballs. One I think you're going to have trouble with.
Okay.
But it'll be entertaining, as always.
As always. And then, of course, hazard a guess. On this day, 1931, the electric shaver made its debut. The Schick electric shaver.
No kidding.
So the theme this week on Hazard, a guess.
Inventions?
Candy?
Will be hair.
Oh, I'm good at that. I got a lot of that.
Yes, you do. And I figured if anyone could use a Schick razor, it would be you.
No, I don't need one. So. Somebody mentioned the other day that I looked awfully, what was the word they used? Furry.
Furry.
And I said, meow.
And, of course, Alan Maester is going to be here for the 2 hours. We're going to talk about everything that we could possibly talk about. And, as you know, he's got an advanced degree in mathematics. Mm-hmm. He knows all about logic and all that fun stuff. And his being a teacher, he could kind of give us some insight into what these young skulls full of mush are behaving like in the classroom.
Yeah, Alan, I still haven't won the lottery since the last time you saw me.
Well, that's hardly surprising. I mean, I'm sure you know the odds are against you. The odds against winning the jackpot are near astronomical, and of course the odds against winning anything are pretty long as well.
So have a better chance of being struck by lightning.
Well, I mean, we can say more about that later. I mean, suffice it to say, people tend to overestimate the probability of rare events.
Okay. But I did. I am playing the number one, as you suggested. If I want to win it by myself, I said to play the use the number one.
That is true. I did say that. The idea being that of one-digit numbers, one, the number one tends to be played less often than others. So if you do win, you'll be sharing your winnings with fewer people on average.
Excellent. Because I don't want to share.
But the odds are still against you, though.
Yeah, I know. But it's fun. You know, when I drive by the sign on my way to work every day, just if it's zero or it started over, I may have the winning ticket in my pocket. And that's exciting.
Ah, okay.
I want to speak about an irony. Pastor Scott in his sermon this morning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know if he's from the Boston, Massachusetts area.
Boston.
Yeah, we forgive him.
Yeah.
But he spoke about the movie Good Will Hunting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And if you recall what that was about.
No, I don't.
Oh, you don't?
I didn't see it.
It was Matt Damon and Ben Affleck.
Uh-huh.
And Matt Damon was a genius, but he was a custodian.
Okay.
Janitor. And they put up a big, I think it was a physics or a mathematical problem on the board at a college. And he solved it, but nobody knew. You know, and the doctor called everybody in to try and figure out who solved it, and turned out it was the.
I was a little bit disappointed in that movie because I was expecting it to be a documentary about resale shops.
Oh my goodness!
But it was.
Oh, that was horrible. Okay.
You know,
that was bad. Hazard, did you get any mentions in the sermon today?
Well, it was crazy. We did a blessing on Pastor Scott, and everybody laid their hands on him, and he's like, "Yo, go ahead, mess up with my hair," and I was about to say. But afterwards, we had to do a little bit of rehearsal.
Oh, that's right.
Next week, I'm playing the big man, JC.
Mm-hmm.
Playing the big man, JC, because I said he's got the hair for it.
Hmm. He's got the belly for it, too.
And I go like this. Hey, what up, man? What are you doing?
You need to grow a beard. For this role.
Maybe do a fake beard real quick.
No, a real beard. It's easy, Hazard. You just don't shave.
I don't know if I could get used to it, the itching.
It's for a week. For your big roll.
The big roll, yeah.
You can shave it off after the show.
That would freak him out if I showed up with a beard.
It would.
Yeah, it would.
Do it.
So, maybe.
As your agent, I tell you to grow a beard for your role as...
You would have liked me because I negotiated a couple lines. I only had one or two lines. And I negotiated a couple more.
Really? Jesus only has two lines?
The way this one is going, yeah.
What was the original line, and then what did you want?
Oh, I'm doing just one
line, right?
I'm walk in supposedly from the Last Supper, and I go, I'm weary or something. I need to go pray. I'm almost to the point of death. Blah blah blah. And then I come back and I go, Simon, are you awake? You cannot stay awake for an hour,
right?
And I say something like that, but I negotiated a little extra line where I go earlier in the service where I go, all right, a couple of you go into town and find a colt that has been unridden or, you know,
yeah, mm-hmm.
and bring them because the Lord needs them.
Okay, so you lobbied to get that in the script.
I lobbied. I said, JC needs a couple more lines here. Hook me up.
The marquee player.
That's right, so they worked with me.
The focus of the greatest story ever told needs a couple more lines.
Yeah.
I would agree with Hazard on that.
I appreciate that. Hey, guess who stopped by the office? You wouldn't know this person.
Oh, and how are we supposed to guess?
Well, I don't know what's a throwaway line. I'm sitting at the computer at my desk here at the studios. Well, not here, but over there at the studios. And a young lady named Allie McManus shows up. She and her mother, Julie.
Okay.
And Allie has an album that was produced by Jack Douglas. Does that name sound familiar?
It does.
He produced Double Fantasy for John Lennon.
Really?
Yes. So Allie is, she's got an album, and she will be at Otis Supply.
Oh, nice venue.
On the 21st.
So next Saturday.
Yep.
No.
No, Thursday.
Thursday.
Is it Thursday?
Yeah.
18th. 19th, 20th, Wednesday.
Yesterday was the 17th.
Wednesday.
Wednesday, this, yeah.
Yeah, Wednesday. So I told her that I would mention it on the air. AliMcManus.com, AliMcManus.com, and the at AliMcManus Music. So
Bloomfield Hills High has two emerging?
Well, she's graduated. She's been out. She's been out for
Let me see.
There you go.
Did she bring you a single or anything?
No, she's got to get it to me. I said, if you want us to play it on the air, you have to let us know.
Unbreakable is the name of it.
Yeah, Unbreakable.
Produced by Jack Douglas.
AliMcManus.com.
She plays guitar as well?
Yep.
Wow.
So she stopped by and said hello, and we appreciate her mentioning us to her friends. So.
All right.
All right, let's do some music here.
All right. You know, Hazard and I... Last Wednesday night, we were out late on a work night, Hazard and I were. We went to the Royal Oak Music Theater to see our friends in Artificial Agent, open for the one and only Michael Schenker. It was a good show, and I was very happy that Artificial Agent played this song, Master Blaster, on Motor City Static.
Oops, I stepped on that one. Artificial Agent Master Blaster here on Motor City Static. Carl Crafton there on the drums.
Mm-hmm.
I like that recording because you can hear the reverb on the skins, mm-hmm. on the drum. That's a neat effect.
Yeah, they sounded really, really good at the Royal Oak Music Theater. Didn't they, Hazard?
Oh, yeah.
Was it a sellout crowd?
No.
No, it wasn't a sellout crowd, but they did sound fantastic. Plus, they had a new
sign. Sign? They had a big neon...
The AA?
AA behind them.
Yeah, I've seen that on Facebook. That's pretty cool.
It was cool.
Well, thank you very much for that.
And thank you, Derek, for inviting us to come along to
Are they going to stop by and visit us here before the summer?
I'm sure they will.
We've got to work on it, yeah.
I'd love to have them here.
Yeah. So, Mr. Michael Schenker was in rare form. I should let Hazard talk about it because he's a...
2 hours, 40 minutes set?
Four singers.
Wow.
He had four separate lead vocalists touring with him.
28
Holy
songs?
Holy cow.
Yeah.
That's quite a concert.
It was a good time.
It was a great time.
Good for you guys.
Hazard saw some of his buddies there.
Hey, what up? Hey,
what up?
What up? Buy me a drink.
I went and stood in a dark corner so no one would see me.
The Silver Fox made the trip to the...
Oh, and what a disaster parking was.
How was that?
Oh, well, first of all, I think the parking attendant woman in the garage, the parking garage area, was a little bit smitten with our boy Hazard here. Because she was being a bit flirtatious with him.
Really?
And, you know, Hazard's been known to be a little flirtatious himself.
No.
And I was like, do you want me to leave? I mean, I can walk over there now and you guys can continue.
Need some private time to Hazard.
But then they give you a ticket, right?
Mm-hmm.
When you go in so you can get out faster. And she made this big deal about don't lose the ticket, which, of course, Hazard played up as well. So we
$10 if you lost the ticket.
$10 if you lost the ticket. $5 to park, another $10 to leave if you lost the ticket. Mm-hmm. So Hazard gives her the ticket, and the gate doesn't go up. Mm-hmm. And in the meantime, she goes and helps somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
So we're sitting there waiting. And then we have to back up, and then the guy behind us is freaking out because they had to back up like everybody that was behind us.
Right.
So then she lets us go through, and the gate comes down right on Hazard's car. He's like driving, and it starts coming down again. And I'm like, whoa, 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 Hazard, stop, stop, stop. And the thing was like laying right across his hood. The gate was.
Well, who was operating the gate?
Hazard's girlfriend. So then we had to repeat the process of backing everybody up again while she went and helped somebody on the other side. And then she came back, and... the gate opened. Hazard punched it, got us out of there.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I forgot about that fiasco until just now.
Yeah.
That's horrible.
Hazard was like, there better not be a dent in my car.
Yeah.
That's their liability, so you might want to get that checked out.
I think he's looked at it by now. I hope, anyway.
Yep, yep.
Well, yesterday I was a victim of sexual harassment.
Were you?
Yes, I
was. Was it Hazard?
No. I went to church services last night.
Oh, yeah.
And then after church, got a little hungry. You know, I'm trying to do this two meals a day, trying to lose some weight. So I had my breakfast, and I went all day without snacks or anything. You would have been proud of me.
Oh, yeah.
Very proud, okay? So then I got into the car, and I said, well, let's go. So I went to the parking lot to this establishment that's by the railroad tracks.
Okay, is it?
Not that one.
Not the one you go to usually?
It's the family restaurant across the street.
Oh, Hazard knows that guy.
Yeah. So I parked the car in the lot by the train station, and I heard a horn in the distance. Mm-hmm. So you know me.
Yeah, you ran out there with drooling.
Instead of walking towards the restaurant, I walked the opposite way, Alan.
Okay.
Because I'm a train fan, you know.
Sure.
And I'm wondering, what am I going to see? So I walked across the tracks to get a better view,
mm-hmm.
and the gate starts coming down
mm-hmm.
because the train flashers are on and whatnot. And there's a car that stopped on the side that I'm at now, blasting Bob Seger.
Was it Benka?
No, it wasn't Benka. But it was a lady that was listening to it. And I forget what song it was, but Kathmandu it was.
Okay, mm-hmm. good song.
So I'm sitting there on the sidewalk, standing on the sidewalk, anticipating this train going by.
Mm-hmm.
And this lady is totally checking me out and starts doing wolf calls.
Must have been the glasses.
Yeah, it could have been. Honking the horn.
Hmm.
Not my type, but
mm-hmm.
at that point, I was a little bit embarrassed, so I walked across the tracks in front of the train.
Now, wait a minute. This was your... I'm going to go Ruth here on you.
Yeah.
You're standing on the railroad tracks, or near the railroad tracks, and there is a woman who stopped her car near the railroad tracks to oogle you, and you walk away.
Yeah. I don't even get that kind of attention.
Ron,
like
this
that.
Was your dream woman. This is what you prayed for in church.
It was a little bit embarrassing because all the cars were lined up looking at this going on, and I got to the point where I even forsake the train, and I just walked across the tracks and went into the restaurant.
Did she follow you?
No. But... It was kind of cute, but it was kind of
Hazard, maybe you should hang out by the train tracks.
I guess so. It's a hot spot.
Yeah. All right, Motor City Static on the Biff Radio Network. First segment is almost ended. We've got three more segments to go here on the Biff Radio Network, 88.1 FM, WBFH, Bloomfield Hills, and 89.5, your station.
For alteration.
For alteration. That would be WAHS, Auburn Hills, Kim McNee, Wes Meisnitzer, and all those people over there. Appreciate it. They're carrying the program, and I'm working on three other stations, fellas.
Really?
Yep. We got to keep it under the cover here, but I'm sure we'll have something to announce.
Do they start with W's?
Yes, they do. Back after these. Motor City Static, Biff Radio Network, on a Sunday night here in the Motor City.
Mm-hmm.
I discovered that my car is not gray.
Oh, it's black.
Yeah. I washed it.
Oh, I see.
There you go.
It was so warm out this afternoon, I figured, you know, I can't pass this up. So the sun was out, skies were blue, the car was gray, all that mm-hmm. salt and whatever, dirt on there. So I took care of that, and I feel good about it now. Except I discovered a patch of rust on the fender, so I've got to sand that down and kind of figure out, investigate what that's all about. I don't like rust. For the longest time, I was spoiled because I drove a Saturn, and those cars never rusted.
Rust never sleeps.
Yeah, and then the F-150 had rust, and now this little thing's got rust. So it's, you know, it's a minor fly in the ointment, as they say. Flaw. Has anyone heard from Ruth?
No.
No.
Okay, I was wondering if she's okay. I should reach out to her. Ruth Scowen.
I tried to keep her up to date on that thing I sent you in Hazard the other day. I included her in it about the best pickup lines.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get a chance to look at
that. I thought there was a few in there Hazard could use.
I got to look at that again.
And the only one who responded to it, Ron, was you. So I was feeling a little bit, you know, unloved.
Maybe she's just busy. This is the best broadcast you'll hear all weekend, Motor City Static. MotorCityStatic.com is the website. And Alan Maestri's been nice enough to visit us this week. He's teaching there at Orchard Lake St. Mary's. And Alan has been known on several occasions to invite me to go see karaoke, sing karaoke with him, which is fun.
Yeah.
And the thing I like about Alan is he's fearless.
You've said that before.
He'll take any song, anytime, anywhere, right?
Pretty much.
He does everything.
Pretty much.
From show tunes to classic rock ballads and all
show
that.
Tunes?
Yeah, he does show tunes.
Really?
Yeah.
I've done a few of those, yeah.
He makes the circuit all over the place, everywhere from the Pontiac area to, you know, the Roseville area up to the Shelby Township area. So he's got a nice little triangle there.
Out to Mount Clemens, too. We've seen him at that one place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, do you have a signature song like Ron's? What was Ron's signature song? That
Anything by Billy Joel?
Well, yours was that about the drink.
Hey, Bartender.
Yeah, Hey, Bartender. Yeah, yes. One of your signature
Whenever
numbers.
I do that song, Alan looks at me like, really?
Yeah, but you sing it well. But to answer your question, it depends. If I'm somewhere where I don't know a lot of people, if I had to just pick one go-to song, I would say The Club at the End of the Street by Elton John.
That's a good song.
1989 hit. It's upbeat. It's pretty safe. You know, now, if I'm somewhere where I'm more comfortable or know the people more, I mean, I'll branch out a little bit.
That's one thing I can't do is go to a place totally by myself where I don't know anybody and go up and sing. You can do that. You do that all the time.
I do it, yes. I do it fairly
frequently. Do you just do it?
Well, I've told people
this. I can't
do
that.
Two things attracted me to karaoke.
Yeah.
One, I like to sing. Two, in a positive way, I like to be the center of attention.
That's why you're on the radio show.
I mean, honestly, I would much rather be up there performing than watching live music.
Well, it's acceptable. But okay. I just, you know, I don't like crowds.
Mm-hmm. Me neither, to be honest.
I don't like situations where I'm not in control.
Mm-hmm.
But he walks up there, bam.
And I've seen it.
I know.
I witnessed it. He heard a Tesla song here one night for the first time ever, and 2 hours later, he was singing in a karaoke. I was there that night.
Well, I mean, like anything else, I mean, there was a beginning to my karaoke karaoke career, if you will.
Do you remember that first time?
I remember, you know, first, second, third, fourth, fifth times. I mean, I hardly knew anyone. I stuck with songs that I know well. You know, and as I got more comfortable and got to know more people, I mean, it helped that I had friends to go with, mm-hmm. obviously, at the very beginning. And, you know, the three or four or five of us or however many would go and we'd hang out and we'd sing songs together. We'd sing songs on our own. You know, I was able to branch out from there. I was able to kind of leverage these songs that I already knew and leverage some of the people that I met. I mean, I met some of the hosts, and so I got to know more people.
He knows a lot of hosts.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I do.
He does.
All right. And, well, 9 years later, here I am.
Yeah. I fell into it by accident because I was working in advertising at the time. Mm-hmm. And I had to make new friends, mm-hmm. because a relationship I was involved with took all my friends, and I was left
friendless.
Friendless, yeah, mm-hmm. you're right. Mm-hmm. So I met a friend of mine. His name was Greg, and he was
It Greg Gersbeck?
Yep, he was the karaoke host. He did that to make ends meet because his career was kind of on the rocks too.
Mm-hmm.
All of us were on the rocks. That's how I met all my friends in advertising.
Were your drinks on the rocks?
Sometimes.
Because now you're a Coke with no ice kind of guy, which I've taken over.
Actually.
I used to think that was a little bit odd, but now I enjoy a Coke with no ice.
I don't like it watered down. And, you know, because of my situation, I have to get rid of the soft drinks. I'm trying.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I enjoy one every once in a while, but it's not like I'm pounding them all the time.
Mm-hmm. By the way, the trail mix is outstanding today.
Yeah, thank you. So anyway, I remember the restaurant. It was Petker's out there in Rochester.
Neat.
That was like 30 years ago, 25 years ago. I don't know what it was, but he wanted me to just help him because he didn't know anybody there. And, you know, it's kind of awkward being a karaoke host.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You have to be up all the time and you have to be subjected to some people who can't or should not be allowed to sing.
Right. And if no one's singing, you got to sing.
You got to sing. So, So that was fun, and then branched out from there, and then the gang from the advertising palace at the time, we all went up to like Rosie O'Grady's and stuff in Royal Oak and all that.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we would meet every Friday, and it was fun. It was good times, you know?
Sounds like it.
It was good times.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I got into the whole situation. But Alan, you know, he's on Facebook all the time, singing here, singing there, and he's got photographs of him with all these lovely ladies. I tell you.
I remember the first time I ever experienced karaoke.
How was that?
A friend of mine invited me to go to karaoke with him because he enjoyed karaoke. I didn't even know what karaoke was. He was trying to explain it to me, and I'm like, what? They play recorded music and you sing to it? He was like, yeah, well, the words are on the screen and everything. I'm like, Crash Landing in Warren, Michigan.
I know the place.
And we got up as a group and sang a Beatles song.
Hey, Alan, didn't we sing there at one time?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so.
What Beatles tune did you sing?
I don't remember. Karaoke. Yellow Submarine. The Yellow Submarine. In the town where I was born. Yeah.
I thought that was a fish dinner.
What?
Karaoke.
Well, thanks to karaoke, I've learned a little bit of, just a teeny tiny bit of Japanese.
Okay.
Yeah.
The word karaoke, and I forget whether I read this. I probably read it in a book somewhere. The word karaoke, a lot of people don't know what it means. It means empty orchestra. Empty orchestra.
Okay.
So come to find out, I also play trivia now and then. And one of our trivia questions was, what does the word karate mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know the answer. Well, it means empty hand. So I thought, so Kara, K-A-R-A, must mean empty.
Yeah.
So I learned something.
So if you have a daughter named Kara, she could
I don't know if I'd go that far.
Never name your daughter Kara.
All right. Well, thanks, Alan.
And
well,
say you're welcome. Japanese.
Appreciate that. All right. Kind of running a little late here. Does anyone know what time it is?
No idea whatsoever.
Let's see what time it is.
Yeah. It's time for This Day in Rock History with Chuck Rippenberg. What happened, Uncle Chuck?
Well, on this date in 1972, T-Rex played the first of two sold-out nights at Wembley's Empire Pool. Ringo Starr filmed the shows for the Born to Boogie Apple documentary. On this date in 1977, The Clash released their debut single, White Riot. The song is the typical punk style of three chords played very fast. Mick Jones counts off 1, 2, 3, 4 at the start of the album version, while the single version begins with the sound of a police siren instead. On this day in 1989, a radio station in California arranged to have all its Cat Stevens records destroyed by having a steamroller run over them in protest of the singer's support of the Ayatollah Khomeini.
Khomeini.
Well, it depends, Hazard. It's either Khomeini or Khomeini. I've heard it pronounced Khomeini.
Oh.
But you, I think the K is silent. I don't know. Whatever. On this date in 2002, the Ramones were inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame by Eddie Vedder, lead singer of Pearl Jam and close friend of the Ramones. The ceremony took place at the Waldorf Astoria Hotel in New York City. Let's see what else we got here. 2013, David Bowie's first album in a decade became the fastest selling of the year, hitting the number one spot in the UK in its first week of release. The next day was the 66-year-old's first number one since 1993's Black Tie White Noise, and sold 94,000 copies in the first week. Now let's take a listen to that Clash song right here on Motor City Static.
White Riot there, Motor City Static, from 1977. Alan, you were 11.
I was 11. I turned 11.
I was 12.
In 1977?
Yeah.
I was 15.
Wow.
Okay.
Oh my God. How old are you, Hazard?
Who, what?
He was 35.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. He was 35. Well, lots of things going on in the business world this past week.
Like what?
iHeartMedia files for bankruptcy.
Yeah, I saw that.
That means, 800 radio stations, whatever. It's no big deal. You know, it's just the Telecom Act of 1996 gave birth to Clear Channel. Clear Channel sucked up all the radio stations, drove them into the ground. People lost their jobs. Radio was, in fact, killed. Now they're going to go away. Maybe, maybe not. Maybe Liberty Media will buy them. Maybe they'll sell off some stations into the hands of people who really care. We don't know.
So is that what killed the radio star?
Yeah.
Okay. Just checking.
Somehow, they should rewrite that song, right?
It's an idea.
I heart killed the radio star. Well, they have. You know? They have. So that was the big news this week. But the other news is that Toys R Us is going bye-bye.
Mm-hmm.
I saw that. I was sad.
Toys R Us.
What am I going to give my great-nephews for Christmas next year?
It says here at CNBC. No, it's the New York Times. New York Times, I'm quoting from here. Toys R Us, the iconic retail chain that has sold toys and games to millions of children for generations, is closing shop in the United States. After filing for bankruptcy protection last September and suffering through a brutal holiday shopping season, the company decided last Wednesday to close or sell all of its remaining stores after executives met with creditors throughout the day. More than 30,000 American jobs are at risk as the company winds down. It is a colossal failure for a company that started out in 1948 as a small store in Washington. I assume that would be D.C., selling crib strollers and other baby items. The business eventually grew to more than 2,000 stores with a wide inventory that made it a destination for children, and with an advertising jingle, "I don't want to grow up, I'm a Toys R Us kid." Remember that?
Sure do.
I don't want to grow up, I'm a Toys R Us kid.
Well, don't kids play with toys anymore?
Well, they do.
Well, where are parents and uncles going to get toys?
Amazon.com.
Oh,
Walmart.
Boring.
Mm-hmm.
Walmart's. And
Meijer.
Any of your regional stores. So it's gone.
Target?
Yeah. The company's headquarters in Wayne, New Jersey are on Jeffrey Way, named after its once ubiquitous giraffe mascot. and so was it Jeffrey and something and Baby G or something?
Yeah, something mm-hmm. like that.
They had a whole bunch of those. So Toys R Us is gone. Nothing lasts forever. Nothing lasts forever. It says here, in the age of the internet and its retailing practices, Toys R Us has struggled with an antiquated sales model that could not keep up with Amazon and Walmart. They had $5 billion in debt from a leveraged buyout in 2005. Michael Dart, a retail expert and a partner in the consulting firm A.T. Kearney, says they were at an intersection of so many challenging trends, and they were at the wrong end of those trends. All of these forces coming together fundamentally tipped them over the edge. It says liquidation sales will take place over the next few months as the company clears the shelves at its roughly 880 Toys R Us and Babies R Us stores around the country.
Oh, Babies R Us are going too?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Everything in Britain is shutting down too. And the global toy industry has been fighting a losing battle for the attention of children obsessed with smartphones and tablets.
Mm-hmm.
Global toy sales have been growing slightly each year, but at a slower pace than that of electronics and video games. Hmm. You know, I say we ban all video games and smartphones so we can help the toy industry.
Just ban them?
Just get rid of them. Outlaw them. Too many smartphones.
Well, I think I've discovered how to turn the internet switch back on my laptop.
That's good.
Function plus F2.
I'm so glad that
I better write that down.
Yeah, you guys are able to come by that information.
I was concerned because
I know.
I wasn't able to do the research for my big part of the show.
Yeah, I had to do it for you.
Yeah. It worked out well.
Yeah, I was washing my car, looked at the phone.
I felt bad because you always say you don't have enough time.
I don't.
And here I am throwing more work on you that I'm supposed to be doing. I look forward to doing it every Sunday morning.
I know. We need to get you a new laptop.
Well, you know, it was funny because I called my service provider today, and no one ever says anything good about this service provider. I happen to like them, and I am always defending them, even though they fired me at one point. However, I still have friends that work for the company, and I wanted to support them.
Good for you.
But I called tech support, and they wanted to first hit my modem, which they did. So I went and tried it again, and it didn't work. And then they sent me a text and said, please reply, pass or fail. And it was all capital letters on their text. Uh-huh. So I texted back in all capital letters, fail. And then they called me back and asked me if I wanted to stay on the line for tech support. I said yes. So it's very nice. Gentleman comes on the phone and does all kinds of stuff with the modem. Still nothing. He says, well, we're going to need to send you to a different department. He sends me to a different department, and the line was a little bit shaky. I was having a hard time hearing him. But as soon as I said Vista, the guy kind of lost all interest. He's like, what Windows are you using? 8? 10?
Was this from overseas?
I think he was in India. What? Actually, that guy was an American. Pretty sure the guy I was talking to. And I said, no, it's Vista. And he goes, oh. Vista.
It's so 1990s.
I said, it was working fine this morning. He goes, well, do you have a switch on your laptop anywhere? I said, no, the last guy asked me that. There's no switch. I've had this thing for years. I have known it inside out, backwards, forwards. There's no switch. He goes, oh, well, you know, Vista hasn't been supported by blah, 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 and so, and blah, blah. I said, it worked this morning. It's got to be something simple.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, well, it could be an F2 key or your F10 key. Sometimes that's popular. So I tried both of those. I said, it doesn't work. And he goes, well, you're going to have to call the manufacturer. I said, that's it? He said, well, there's nothing more I can do for you, sir. I said, okay, thank you. Goodbye. And then I didn't hear the phone hang up. And I said, hello, are you still there?
Uh-huh.
He said, yes. Are you going to call the manufacturer? I said, well, that's my only option at this point. Then I thought, I'll just Google it when I get to Ron's.
Yeah,
that's what I've done, and it's function plus F2.
Hopefully that'll work.
If that doesn't work, I'm going to whip out my my tablet and charge that up, and hopefully that'll recognize the modem right away and get me going.
Motor City Static, Ron, Chuck Hazard, very special guest, Alan Maestri. Alan Maestri, guess what?
What?
Facebook says you and I have been friends for 9 years, but that's not true. We've been friends for over 30 years.
We've been friends for over 30 years.
Since our days at Utica Ford.
Mm-hmm.
Class of 84, I was class of 83. Alan was the man that was smart enough to get through the pre-calc, calc, and all that stuff, and I was just on the yearbook staff, taking up space.
I'm sure you were
well liked. Smart in our own way. Well said.
Alan, you probably couldn't put a yearbook together, could you?
No.
See?
Are you kidding?
See?
Yeah. But I remember fondly my years at Utica Ford.
Me too.
And Alan was one of the bright spots there.
Weren't they in the news recently? Didn't something happen there?
Yeah, and then, you know, what's going on.
Around the country, all over the world?
All the, you know.
Happened
the,
there, huh?
Yeah, it happened there too.
Wow.
It's unfortunate, but there seems to be a lot of copycatting going on, and it's not a good situation.
Boy, Ron, so. your green room chef has just prepared the most exquisite barbecue chips today, too.
Well, we try. We aim to please. Aim to please. Okay, Big Words with Ron's coming up probably in about 10 minutes or so from now. Alan's going to watch me humiliate myself. Last week was not a good outing for Uncle Ron.
Well, maybe this week will be better.
Yeah, maybe I can phone a friend. Alan will be my friend. I'll use my smartphone here.
I don't think you're going to need him, but,
all right.
You know.
And then, of course, Hazard, our topic will be shaving.
And our friend Jeff Hazard next week debuts in his leading role as Jesus Christ.
That's right. That's Palm Sunday next
Palm
week.
Sunday. Palm Sunday. You want to give out the details in case any of your fans want to come and see you live in person?
Yeah, where is it at?
Zion UCC.
What time?
9 o'clock.
Sunday?
Sunday, 9 o'clock.
Oh, man. I mean, so I'm going to have to do Mass the day before, or I'll hit the 7:30 Mass, because St. Pete's is right next door to Zion Church of Christ.
Yeah.
So if I do my Catholic thing at 7:30.
Then you can go be an undercover Catholic at 9.
I can do that at 9.
Pastor Scott would be glad to see you.
You'd be so full of Jesus if you did two churches in one day.
Yeah.
Whoa, and then you could go to the after. They have a little shindig afterwards? And
a little in the social hall, a little, a little something soiree.
You know what? Put me down. Do I have to buy a ticket?
No.
Okay, so that's Palm Sunday, next Sunday.
Palm Sunday, baby.
Okay, because we've got Easter Sunday off here.
Oh, do we?
Yeah, I'll be traveling.
Where are you going?
Going up to Ascoda.
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 All right.
I promised my sister, Lori, that I would hang out with her the Easter weekend. So I'm going to do services up there.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. But I want to come see you.
Come see me.
I'm going to come see you. Do I get a front row seat?
Get a front row seat. We'll get you whatever you want.
Okay. I want to see this. I really want to do this.
I can't be awake that early on a Sunday or I'd be there too. But.
All right. Okay, website I already mentioned, MotorCityStatic.com. A lot of other things coming up on the show. We're not quite over, so we've got things to do. We have time for a song?
The one I got queued up is a little bit long. Let me see if I can queue
up. How long is it?
5:27.
That's a little long.
That's a little long.
Let's see how long song 10 is.
The awkward silence.
How about 4:15?
Let's do it.
All right, this is Alice in Chains on Motor City Static.
Motor City Static. On the Biff Radio Network, Hazard.
I guess.
The official timekeeper.
Yep.
Did I catch you?
No.
Didn't catch you? All right. Ron Whittables, Chuck Riffenberg, Jeffrey Lee, Hazard.
The Exchequer of Bling.
A.K.A. Johnny Jump Up.
Mm-hmm.
And a very special guest, Alan Maestri. Alan, you having fun?
I am having a great time, yes.
Are you really?
I am.
Did you ever think that I'd end up in radio?
I did, actually.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I had faith in you. I know that's something you've wanted to do for a long time, and I'm just thrilled to see that you've come this far.
Well, thank you. I appreciate
that. You're welcome.
That. It's because sometimes I wonder, not that I talk to anybody from Utica Ford, occasionally online,
mm-hmm.
but I'm wondering if they ever, one, if they ever remember me,
mm-hmm.
and number two, if they have anything good to say about me, because I don't know.
Well, I don't know either. I want to give you my hunch, though, if you don't mind.
Sure.
I think a fair number of people, I'm sure, remember you. And I would say I can't imagine anyone from what I knew of you as a junior, senior in high school. I can't imagine anyone saying anything bad about you, Ron.
Oh, stop.
I'm serious.
Tell me more.
What can people say bad about you?
I don't know. I wonder. Because, you know, social media is a dangerous thing.
Very dangerous.
Because not only are there people you can't trust out there, but it's also portraying things that are not exactly true.
Yeah.
If you feel miserable about your life and you see pictures of people on vacation somewhere,
mm-hmm.
immediately you're thinking, oh, man, my life just sucks eggs.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah. How do you feel about that?
You know, I really don't care because I have 20 little glass boxes of bliss in my house.
Yeah.
Different tropical species, so all I got to do is stare into one of those for a while and I disappear into the Amazon.
Okay.
And then I have the geckos from Madagascar, too, if I ever want to go to a different continent.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's the birds from Australia. You know, I'm all set.
Well, there you
go. The dog from Germany. The other dog from England.
you're international.
I'm international.
Well, you get just, you know, I'm just wondering. It's all.
Mm, okay. But, yeah, maybe you need a gecko.
Nah, don't.
Ron, it's the easiest pet in the world.
Yeah, but you can't snuggle up with a gecko.
You can.
No, you can't.
It's all like... I snuggle up with Lash all the time.
It's like, you can't. It's like you don't have a dog you can bring to bed or something or on the couch.
Well, you don't want to bring the gecko to bed.
Yeah,
you might smash it.
You roll over in the middle of the night and it's like, ah!
You can hold him on your little finger and talk to you. They'll stick out his little tongue at you.
Yeah.
Oh, they're so cute.
What are the ones that have the eyes that work independently?
Chameleons.
Chameleons, okay.
I've been thinking about getting into those. I've still got two empty cages.
Are there gigantic chameleons?
They're different size ones. Right. Yeah, definitely.
I'm amazed, Alan, how they can camouflage themselves.
Mm-hmm.
They can go gray. They can go green.
They can go red. They can go blue.
How do they know how to do that? It's just amazing.
I had a pet chameleon growing up, and it was amazing to see the different colors. Yeah.
Where'd you get it? Pet store?
I can't remember where my parents got it for me. I had it for a while.
Our big thing in elementary school was the science unit,
mm-hmm.
where you had the snails and all that stuff. So at the end of the year, we got to take all those pets home because, you know, the parents, you can't keep them over the summer.
Mm-hmm. Not at the school, no.
Yeah. So we would, you know, all the summer we'd have the snails and it was just fascinating.
Hazard, I noticed your... enclosure was empty the other day when I was over at the castle.
Yep.
It has. Need something else for that sucker?
I got to put something else in there, yeah.
Yeah. Is that where you had Lemmy, right there? And Ian? Is that what
yep.
their spot?
Yep.
That was their spot?
No. Actually, they were on the counter by the jars of goodness.
Okay.
The infamous
Maybe
jars.
You should move them into the living room with you.
Could do that. I could do that.
Yeah. Still got that fish tank from that Ron?
Yeah.
Why don't we set that up at your house?
Could do that. Why not?
Yeah, let's do it.
Idaho officials humanely, and I use the word humanely in air quotes, mm-hmm. euthanized a snapping turtle that was reportedly fed a puppy by a junior high teacher.
I saw that.
I
say what?
That.
First of all, why are they euthanizing a snapping turtle just because it ate a puppy?
That's not
Good
fair.
Question.
They should euthanize the teacher for feeding it to him.
Well,
no offense, Alan.
But well, Alan?
None taken. None taken.
Say?
I read a little bit about that. I mean, didn't he do it in front of?
Well,
go ahead.
I'll tell you. According to a number of local news reports, a science teacher at Preston High School, is being investigated for feeding an ailing puppy to a snapping turtle. Word of the incident spread among students, parents, and teachers. After hearing of the incident, local animal activist Jill Parrish filed a complaint with the sheriff's department. In Preston, Idaho, authorities seized and euthanized the snapping turtle, an invasive species. So that's why they euthanized the snapping turtle.
Because it was invasive.
Right.
Okay.
The department launched an investigation into the incident. According to reports, the puppy fed to the turtle was sick and on the verge of death anyway.
Well, why would you feed a death, dying puppy to a turtle?
How big was the turtle?
It was pretty big.
Pretty big.
Hmm.
The incident allegedly happened after school hours with only a handful of children present. Parrish told Fox affiliate KSTU. STU, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
The call letters strike me funny. She said, allowing children to watch an innocent baby puppy scream because it is being fed to an animal, that is violence. That's not okay.
Mm-hmm.
Outrage over the incident spread across social media this week, but students and parents in Preston have also taken to the internet to voice their support for the teacher. Local parent Farrellyn Hansen wrote on Facebook, "Two of these kids present were mine. None of the kids were upset or traumatized. They do not need counseling. They saw the physical state of the very young puppy. It was sick, wouldn't accept food, and was dying. All of the three kids that were there felt Robert did the humane and right thing. My children work on farms. They understand life and death." Well, I'm reading this article, and what goes through my mind is, how about all those Disney True Nature events where you see hawks swallowing rodents in the desert? That was perfectly acceptable and okay. But here, in this, setting, he feeds a puppy to a turtle, and that causes an outrage. A puppy that was going to pass away anyway.
You don't feed a sick animal to an animal. It's going to make the other animal sick.
It could, and then it could not. I don't know. I'm not coming down on any side of this. I'm just, it seems illogical for me for people to get upset over this.
It's upsetting.
But on the other hand, I can see how it could be upsetting.
Yeah.
I'd be curious as to why the teacher did it. I mean, that's what I'm not hearing.
Well, I don't see it in the article here. A petition in support of the teacher has earned more than 2,000 signatures. School officials also voiced support for the teacher. So the school board and the administration's on his side. District Superintendent Mark G. said in a statement, "We hope that any errors in judgment made by a teacher in this instance will not cause us to forget the years of care, effort, and passion that the teacher has given to the students at Preston School District." So... well, I have no update on how this panned out, but what's the difference? It's feeding a cricket to a chameleon. Isn't that the same thing, logically?
Yeah, it sounds like we haven't heard the end of this.
I feed my geckos healthy crickets, though. I don't feed them sick crickets.
Yeah, but you're still feeding them crickets. See, I think what this animal rights activist was upset was that the puppy was being fed to a snapping turtle.
Yeah, I can understand that. But and the crickets get swallowed whole. I'm sure the puppy had a
torturous
end. Death.
So, but you know, how do you know that the cricket's not tortured being swallowed whole? I'm just playing devil's advocate.
I don't know.
See, so anyway. Whoa!
Whoa!
Whoa! What's that?
That's the computer's just not acting the way it should. Let's try this again. There we go.
Oh, wait a minute.
Always on time. Welcome to Metro Detroit's beloved quiz program that not only helps to build your vocabulary, but puts our beloved Uncle Ron in his place. It's time for Big Words with Ron. On the Biff Radio Network. As you know, Uncle Ron tends to espouse his opinions with big $5 words that often leaves Chuck and Hazard and will be fuddled and perplexed. This time, the table is turned to see how Uncle Ron reacts. Can he bluff, guess, or reckon his way to the words we throw at him? You decide on Big Words with Ron. Now, from the luxurious yet not overly ostentatious MCS studio near the Grand Trunk Western, here's your host, Chuck Rivenberg. Yeah, Alan is smiling. He loves to witness big-time radio announcing whenever he can.
Yeah. Well, you know, I always get a chance to get back to my my band days in junior high and high school when I played the Viper Slap and the train whistle.
Okay, let's, from the outset, had a number of complaints from the audience that this particular segment makes me look bad.
But oh, get out of here.
That's not what this is about.
Fake news.
That's not what this is about. That's not what this is about. No, this is all about having good fun. There's no wagering.
No wagering.
I usually walk away unscathed.
Usually.
Although bruised a little bit in the ego department. But this is a fun segment. I love it. The words are tough.
It's educational.
We're fulfilling an educational requirement.
Yeah. That's right. And as long as our school board supports me in this endeavor, we will continue to do big words with Ron.
I'm sure there are people that use these words around the water cooler the next day. Hazard, can you put some more?
Indubitably.
Can I get some more of me and you and Ron and everybody else on the monitor, please?
Well,
I'm turned down
mix,
quite
please.
Low.
Monitor mix,
where are you
please.
At? I think I'm right there.
Monitor mix, please.
Right there. Yeah, that's me right there.
Okay.
All right, here you go, Ronnie. You ready for your first word?
Absolutely.
Its earliest documented use was in 1837.
It's that was the year that Michigan became a state.
It wasn't,
wasn't it, Alan?
Yes.
All right. It's from the Old English.
And you know the first railroad in Michigan was built in 1836?
No kidding.
Yeah, the Adrian and Blissfield, as it's known now, but it was the something and something back then.
Sorry. Quit stalling.
Okay.
It is a noun. You have one chance at the definition.
Whoa. One chance.
Your word is sawbones.
Sawbones.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I know this one.
I knew you would.
Be a surgeon.
Yeah. Do you want me to read the sentence for you?
I did my own bell.
Yeah. You did. You want to pass it over so Hazard can handle the bell? All right. The word or the sentence was, the sawbones then manipulated my right arm back into its socket and secured it in a sling.
Yeah.
A doctor, especially a surgeon.
I just learned something.
You didn't know that?
No, I didn't know that.
Are you kidding me?
Stick around, Alan. You'll learn much, much more as the show
good for
goes
you.
On.
I like that. Sawbones.
All right, Ron. Our next word, its earliest documented use, was in 1776. It's from the Old French. You have one chance at the definition, that being a noun. And the word, Ron, is killjoy.
Oh. Oh, my last date was a killjoy. Well, you know, that's a word. It means what it says. Someone who takes the fun out of everything. It's like a dullard. Someone who just sucks the life out of everything.
Yes, would you like a sentence?
Yeah.
Too often, the authorities have shared the misconception that corruption in sport is essentially benign. Worried about appearing killjoys, they have let it be.
Okay. So what's the one word definition?
Actually, it's one who spoils the enjoyment of others.
That's more than one word. I thought it was a one word definition.
No. Okay. I said, yeah. Oh, we do have five words today. I must have missed one of these. All right, your next word, Ron.
Yep.
Is a noun. Its earliest documented use was in 1924. It's a combination of Middle English and Old English, and there's some Old Norse thrown in as well. And this word is scofflaw.
Scofflaw?
Uh-huh.
It's someone who scoffs at the law. It's a lawbreaker.
Yeah, I guess so.
What did they say?
One who displays contempt for the law, especially in minor violations such as failure to pay parking tickets.
Yeah, that's a scoff law. Mm-hmm. I scoff at your law. Your law can't bind me. I deserve to park in the handicap spot.
So right now, Ron.
Right?
Three for three.
Holy cow. And we're like ahead of schedule on time. My network time killer's not working here.
Mm-hmm. Uh-oh.
We'll have to add it to Hazard a Guess.
There you go.
Then a little music.
Okay, so this word, Ron.
I mean, I don't want to be a killjoy, but we do have a show to do here.
Mm-hmm.
Good use of the word.
One,
thank you.
One, two, three. Four, five chances at the definition.
God.
All of them being nouns.
Noun.
Its earliest documented use was in 1573. It's from Old English. And your word, Ron, is dreadnought. I want two definitions for this one. In order to get the point.
Ooh.
Two out of five in order to get the point. Because one of them is pretty easy.
All right. Give me a sentence.
Give you a sentence?
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Could he not see that the gullible young man they'd roped into this union had returned as a dreadnought?
I know this word, but I just can't come up with the definition. It's a type of a knot, isn't it?
No. You're toying with us. You're toying with us, aren't you?
No, I'm not. I completely forgot this definition. A dreadnought.
Mm-hmm.
How do you spell that?
D-R-E-A-D-N-O-U-G-H-T.
Oh, it's N-O-U-T.
Dreadnought. Dreadnought.
Is that a type of a ship?
There's one. You need two.
I need two?
I said I want two to get the point on this one. that's not the one I thought you would get.
All right, if it's not the lead ship, then it's the dreadnought.
You've got the ship part. Yeah. Give me one of the other definitions.
Well, I'm trying to reason it out because I don't know what that second definition is. I knew it was a ship.
Well, they're one, two. They're all very distinct definitions. They're not related to each other at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, what are the other definitions? What other areas? Does it have to do with brewing?
I read you the sentence.
Yeah.
And you got one that had nothing to do with the sentence. So try to figure out one that came with the sentence.
We'll read the sentence again.
Could he not see that the gullible young man they'd roped into this union had returned as a dreadnought? Union.
It's like a follower?
No.
There's a pilot ship, and then there's the dreadnought.
Mm-hmm. Right. No, no. The ship. Let's get the ship out of the way, okay?
Yeah.
It's a battleship.
The ship has sailed.
Armed with all heavy guns. That is a dreadnought ship. Right. I gave you that one. Probably shouldn't have, but I did. I don't know if Ruth would have given it to you.
She wouldn't.
But you got four more chances, Ron.
And they have nothing to do with boats.
I've seen you at times be a bit of a dreadnought.
Now, if I may, is Ron allowed to phone a friend or do something like
that?
I
think so. It's my show.
Okay. There you go.
Alan's my friend.
This is my segment, though.
It's always pulling rank.
If Ron wants to phone a friend, he's got to use, he can use a lifeline. Sure. Why
all right,
not?
How about a lifeline there, Alan?
Okay. I am thinking it is a person who is fearless, who is brave, who is strong and capable, and can take a risk when necessary.
Alan got definition number one.
Yeah.
There you go.
Okay.
The other definitions are a thick cloth, a warm garment made of thick cloth, and this is the one I thought you'd get, Ron, a type of acoustic guitar with a large body and loud sound.
Oh, I knew that one. I just was saving it.
Oh, okay. All right, you ready for your final word today?
I had to kill some time.
That was fun. All right, here's your last word. Wait, did we do this one already?
No.
It's kind of related to one of the other
words.
Yeah,
I know.
Its earliest documented use, Ron, was in 1801.
Hang on for a minute here. I'm 4 for 5.
Four for four.
Yeah. I could be 4 for 5.
You could be. If you want to lose this one, you could. You could be 5 for 5.
Yeah.
I'm not. I'm going to win this one.
Then you could walk around clothing all
those people listening at home, phone a friend. Set your bets, because I'm gonna clean up. I'm cleaning up here. I'm gonna get every one of these.
You're doubling down, are you?
Doubling down.
Earliest documented use.
You know what?
Use.
I'm the dreadnought of this here contest.
You are.
Whoa.
Earliest documented use is 1801. You have one chance at the definition.
Mm-hmm.
It is a noun. And your word, Ron, is spoil sport. And I think you paid off my producer this week. You want a sentence?
Yes.
In the interest of time?
Yes.
Do you want a sentence?
Let's kill some time here. We got a minute to kill.
The most common misconception about the Puritans is that they were uptight spoil sports.
Yeah, they didn't party. They didn't do anything. They were just spoil sports. Didn't celebrate nothing. They were complete killjoys.
That's your answer?
That is my answer. Give me the bell.
No.
What do you mean, no?
It wasn't it.
You want to be a spoil sport towards me, right?
I am. I'm.
You don't want
me
to win.
Being a spoil sport. What am I doing,
you don't
Ron?
You're not going along with the program here.
Which means I am?
Obstinate.
No.
You're just being a jackass.
Get the answer, Ron. Come on. You're almost there.
Yeah.
Spoil sport.
You won't let me win.
I will if you get it right.
That's what a spoil sport does. It won't let me win.
Should I give it to him, Hazard?
Yeah.
So don't listen to him whine. 5-5.
I love it.
I'm going to have a talk with my producer.
Why?
He clearly needs to button down a little bit, make these words a little more difficult for you.
Yeah. And that's how we play Big Words with Ron. All right, let's go over those words. Sawbones, surgeon, doctor, killjoy, one who spoils joy. Scoff laws. Anyone who has contempt for the law, parking ticket, runoff, dreadnought, chip with guns, guitar, risk taker. It's also a thick cloth, right?
Mm-hmm. Or a thick garment, or a garment made with thick cloth.
And then, of course, spoil sport. What's your definition?
I was going by the one in the paper.
Which is?
One who ruins other people's enjoyment.
Right, you're a killjoy.
Mm-hmm.
Notice how I use one of your words to explain that?
Yeah, I did notice that.
City Static continues here on the Biff Radio Network. We've got a song.
We do. This one kind of loosely relates to two of the This Day in Music stories because it was written by David Bowie. And I do believe in the lyrics, T-Rex is mentioned.
Ooh.
This is Mott the Hoople with All the Young Dudes on Motor City Static.
That's Mott the Hoople, All the Young Dudes here on Motor City Static. Mott the Hoople was in danger of breaking up there, Chuck.
Mm-hmm.
And then David Bowie said, you know, you guys really need to do this song. He offered them Suffragette City first.
Oh, really?
They turned it down. And this is considered the anthem for glam rock at the time.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so Mott
the Hoople would have done a wonderful job with Suffragette City,
yeah,
too.
But in many cases, you give these songs away or you let people record them. They don't necessarily take the bait.
Mm-hmm.
And then
mm-hmm.
they go on. But this is the case where All the Young Dudes was a mega hit for Mott the Hoople. That's probably the only hit they had,
mm-hmm.
I think.
It was their biggest hit for sure,
mm-hmm.
but I think they had a few others.
It says here at Wikipedia, it's number 253 in its list of the 500 greatest songs. Well, that's Rolling Stone magazine, sorry.
Huh. Mm-hmm.
Number 253 in the 500 greatest songs of all time, and bumped up to 256 in, it dropped down to 256 in its 2010 update, so. It's one of those songs that shaped rock and roll.
It was. It's funny you say they gave songs away. When Hazard and I went and saw Michael Schenker the other night,
mm-hmm.
his intro to one of the songs was, here's a song I wrote and gave... I can't do a good German accent right now. Here's a song I wrote and gave to my
brother
Rudolph, who was in the Scorpions.
Right.
So was that a Scorpions? Did the Scorpions do that song, actually, Hazard? Do you know?
I don't know. I don't remember.
What song was that?
I don't remember.
I don't remember either.
Okay.
It was the second or third one in the set.
Yeah.
Look up the set list on your phone.
All right.
Find it. We'll find out what song it was.
All right, we're going to take a break here. Motor City Static. Hard to believe 3/4 of the show is done. Come back. We've got some things to talk about. I've got goofy stories. And, of course, we've got everyone's favorite Hazard.
A guess.
So we'll do that. Motor City Static on WBFH and 89.5 WAHS. Motor City Static. Man, I love this show. I love it. I've been actively trying to recruit other radio stations to carry it. I met with a few people this week. Can't make any announcements, but one of them was the general manager of a station in Plymouth Canton.
All right, the song we mentioned just beforehand was called Coast to Coast.
All right. Scorpions had a hit with that, I think.
Things on their Love Drive album.
Okay.
But man, what a show it was. You know what the funny, and Hazard's looking up the set list, this was kind of funny, is that, you know, you used to go to a concert and you would never know what the next song was going to be, right? You hope it's that song you came to see, your favorite song by that band of all time. And now Hazard's got the set list up on his phone.
Yeah.
During the show, next song's going to be blah, blah, blah.
Well, sometimes they'll throw a curve in.
Yeah, because it's actually the night from the night before. But it was a... I can't tell you how... This is the second time I saw Michael Schenker in my life,
mm-hmm.
and I just had a really, really good time that night.
Okay, for those who are listening who are not familiar with him,
yes,
what is he known for?
Well, when he was 16, he co-founded the band The Scorpions mm-hmm. with his brother,
mm-hmm.
and then he left there to be one of the founding members of UFO Hazard?
I don't know if he was a founding, but...
Certainly with them in their heyday.
Yeah.
And then after that, he left and formed the Michael Schenker Group.
Mm-hmm.
And then he hooked up with a guy whose name was Macaulay.
Yep.
And formed
Macaulay
Schenker Group.
Sounds like insurance.
And then Macaulay left, and they went back to the Michael Schenker Group. And they had some big songs. What was that one song? Get that set list back up. Anytime, you know that song. Anytime, anytime, mm-hmm. I'll be there. They did that one. They did his last set, like the last half hour of his show was pretty much UFO songs, which was just incredible. The guy's like 62, 63 years old.
He's still a youngster.
And just rocking it.
Cool.
Playing the Flying V?
Playing the Flying V. Not a Gibson Flying V, however.
Just a knockoff.
I think it was a Dean, if I'm not mistaken.
All right.
I could be wrong about that. This is where we need Jabbo.
Yeah, we do. I've been reaching out to him. He's just been so gosh darn busy. Jabbo's a teacher, too, you know.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
he wouldn't feed a snapping turtle.
No, he wouldn't. Speaking of teachers, Alan Maester's a teacher, too. Teaches at Orchard Lake St. Mary's.
Well, you're a bit of an educator yourself.
I'm just a guy that keeps the lights on at the station. I'm not that special. You know, people don't flock to me. They don't ask for wisdom or advice or anything. They just kind of like, hey, how you doing?
Really?
Yeah.
What's up? You're just kind of a wallflower?
Yeah, I'm a wallflower. You know me, shy. Yeah. Retiring.
What are you trying to show me there, Hazard?
So, is this something that we could talk on the radio about?
Nah, he's showing me. Well,
it's about trains.
It's about trains. We're doing really? Better. He's showing me model railroads.
That's cool. Speaking of which, my HO may be time to start setting that thing
You've
up.
You've been threatening that for quite a while.
I know. I've got to find a room. If I blow out the studio wall, I think I'm going to have a train room next door so that if you're waiting to be on the broadcast, mm-hmm. you can operate the train set.
Why don't you put it in the... Okay. Is there a room in the house you don't use?
Every room is being used, and if I were to take over the guest room, then I wouldn't have any guests.
Well, you have the place where you sleep.
Yeah.
You have an office.
Yeah.
You have
and,
a guest room.
And a guest room.
You have a living room.
Yeah.
A dining room.
Mm-hmm.
Kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
Bathroom.
Yeah. And a
basement.
And a studio.
And a studio. Well, what...
Hazard says the house is too big for me.
We've discussed this. Hazard's got more square feet than you do, so he needs to give that a rest. But he's got occupants now. How's things going with the mice?
I think they got the notice or the word out that the house party has moved on down the street.
Yeah?
So.
All right.
That spray foam I gave you worked?
Oh, he was complaining about the spray foam the other day.
Why? What's wrong with it?
It didn't work.
What do you mean it didn't work?
I had to go to my own supply.
He said it was clogged.
Well, you unclog it.
He couldn't get anything out of there.
Anyway.
But you should see. When was the last time you were over at... Have you been overcasted to Hazard lately?
I haven't been there since October when he made me crawl underneath and try to fix his shower stall plumbing.
Okay. Your house is homey. I live in a zoo.
Mm-hmm.
Hazard is like Better Homes and Gardens for Men. I mean, there is something on every wall.
Yeah.
He's got, you know, rock and roll. What's that thing? You got that folding wall thing with the rock and roll pictures in it?
Yeah, it's a...
That was pretty cool.
It's a room divider, if you will.
Yeah, it's got pictures like old rock and roll pictures in it. The bathrooms smell fantastic.
Yeah.
And then I walked out the other day, I thought Hazard... He was like all like man sprayed up. He's smelling all like he was going on a date or something.
Oh,
and
man.
The I don't know if you noticed this or not, Hazard, because you're staring at your phone the whole night, but the attendees of Michael Shankar was very testosterone laden.
Yes, it was.
A lot of leather jackets.
There weren't
and
a whole
jeans.
Lot of women in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the women employees of the Royal Oak Music Theater might have outnumbered the women attendees.
Well, that's the crowd there.
But we had a good time.
Well, that's good.
Well, I'll tell you, there's that Beatles back from a couple weeks ago, crawling up your wall here.
Is it?
The one that freaked Hazard out.
Okay, well...
No, I want to take it home and name it.
Well, take
Give
it.
Give me something to catch it in.
I don't have anything.
Oh, come on.
Here's a can.
It's not going to stay in a can. I need something with a top.
I don't have anything with a top. Anyway,
I can't put it in a. Oh no, I can't do that. I could. Well, you got stuff in that can anyway. Let me figure this out. There it goes again.
Okay. Speaking of teaching, a teacher who learned to greet her pupils in 35 languages spoken at her deprived inner city school has been named the best teacher in the world. Alan.
Okay.
Do you speak another language?
A little bit of Spanish. That's about it.
Andrea Zafiku. Or is it Zafiriku? Andrea Zafiriku, who's 39, was selected from thousands of applicants around the world for her work with migrant children at Alperton Community School in Brent, England. Hmm. And now the art and textiles teacher has won the prestigious 4th Annual Varkey Foundation Global Teacher Prize worth $1 million, but in British currency, it's $715,000, or pounds.
Mm-hmm.
Pounds. The award honors one exceptional teacher each year who has made a significant contribution to the profession. Andrea beat some 30,000 applicants from around the world to scoop the highly competitive prize, becoming the first UK teacher to do so. Her school sits in one of the poorest parts of the UK, and many of her pupils come from crowded homes shared with multiple families. The borough also has one of the highest murder rates in the country. Yikes.
Hmm.
Last year, Canadian teacher Maggie McDonald won the prize for her work with Inuit Indigenous students in a remote and isolated Arctic village. So that's that. And then Andrea received her award during a star-studded Oscar-style ceremony in Dubai last Sunday, hosted by Trevor Noah of The Daily Show. Other celebrities present included Hollywood star Charlize Theron and Indian actress Priyanka Chopra. So there you go. Oh, and I hear a train. I love that.
I've caught the beetle.
Congratulations.
I think I'm going to name it Ringo.
That's funny. And then here's another story. This is romantic. Two high school sweethearts in New Jersey returned to the high school hallway where they first met nearly three decades ago for their wedding over the weekend.
Oh, that's touching.
You know, that'll never happen for me because...
Well, it's more than three decades out.
Yeah. Chris Gash and Jen Sudol, S-U-D-O-L, who first met when they were freshmen at Clifton High School in 1989, were married Saturday at their old high school. Wow. The ceremony was small with just family members and officiated by Clifton Mayor James Anzaldi, who says he came out of retirement for this ceremony after retiring from wedding officiating a few years ago. The couple says they dated briefly in high school but went their separate ways before dating again in 2016. My, how time flies.
Mm-hmm.
Gash's daughter, Lucy, said the wedding reminded her of romantic comedy movies she loves to watch. So at least one of them have been married before. Maybe both of them have been married before.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't say the details on it, but that's nice.
It is.
That's a nice little romantic story.
It is.
But you never catch me doing that. So... What are you looking at me for, Hazard?
I don't know.
You just get that...
That blank stare?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
I'm busy.
You got things to do, huh?
Trolling.
Live and direct from the Rumpus Room at La Casa de Hazard, which, as Chuck said, is immaculate.
It's gorgeous.
It's time for us to gather around the radio and play another installment of Metro Detroit's favorite radio contest, Hazard a Guess. Yes, Kitty's Uncle Ron has officially depleted the topic bin tonight. I did with that last story. See how expert I am at this, Al?
You are.
I'm trying. Okay?
So I took you 34 years.
Yeah, well, thank you. And yet we still have a half hour of expensive and valuable broadcast airtime left, so we present a surefire network time killer, one that pits the incredible knowledge of our very own handsome, suave, slick, and debonair lady killer, Mr. Jeffrey Lee Hazard, the Earl of Spiffy, Exchequer of Bling, Johnny Jump Up, and now the poster child for Better Homes and Gardens.
Better Homes and Gardens for men.
For men. Against the brain power of our bright, attractive, erudite, and deeply learned Motor City Static regulars. That would be Chuck and Alan.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We've got another participant today.
Gather around the radio, my friends. If you're not too careful, you might learn something. Big Daddy, are you ready?
I'm ready, baby.
Hazard.
Bring it home.
Guess.
All right, let's fade out the orchestra here. On this day, back in 1931, Mr. Maestri.
Yes?
The first practical electric shaver went on sale. The gizmos were the brainchild of Jacob Schick. He put his first electric shavers on the market in 1929, just in time for the stock market collapse and the ensuing Great Depression. The early models didn't sell well. The design was clumsy. It was a two-part contraption with a heavy motor connected by a metal cable to the reciprocating shave head. So it was kind of like an octopus's arm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you had to pull it out and shave, and it just didn't work. Business was so bad that the Schicks, he and his wife, had to mortgage their home to get money to keep the company going. But Schick figured out how to make his product a success by making it handy. He got rid of the flexible cable and put a small electric motor inside the same unit as the shaving head. The entire apparatus was encased in sleek black Bakelite, and fit comfortably in your hand. An electric appliance cord supplied power to the motor, which had to be kick-started by a turnwheel switch on the unit. Okay, so you had to kind of like cranking a car. Schick set up a factory in Stamford, Connecticut. The new model went on sale in New York City on this day, March 18th, 1931. They sold for $25 each.
Which is
$360 today.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
About 3,000 units moved the first year, and sales increased until 1.5 million were in users' hands by 1937. So the beginning of the modern shave, electric shave era began on this date back in 1931. Therefore, I figured, what better theme for Hazard a Guess than to talk about hair and shaving? Okay?
Okay.
Bring it on, baby.
I don't know much about shaving.
I know, because you've got the beard. So I need my bell?
Oh, sure.
That'd be nice.
Your bell.
I should buy an extra bell, so that way you'd have...
No, I want an easy button.
You want an easy button?
Yeah.
That was easy.
Do you want it? You want me to get you one?
Give me an easy button.
Okay. All right. Question number one, Hazard. Look me in the eye.
No, this is ridiculous. I'm not trying to look up answers. I was just curious. Is that an octopus shaving thing that you were talking about? So I pulled up the images for the first electric shaver. And they got these. Oh, I guess that's all the same ad. But the men in these ads are wearing suits when they're shaving.
Part of the advertising to make show how easy it is.
Yeah, but everybody knows you stand there right after you get out of the shower and shave, and you're certainly not wearing a suit. Mm-hmm. I don't even own a suit. Put one on to shave. Let me go buy a new suit so I can shave.
All right, question number one here, Hazard. Look me in the eye, the good eye. By the way, my astigmatism
reversed itself.
Yeah, it reversed itself. So,
look at that thing, Hazard.
Question number one. Why?
Do you use an electric shaver, Ron?
I used to. I didn't like the. I didn't get a close shave.
Okay.
I have one upstairs, but.
Hazard, do you use electric razor?
Now and then.
Alan?
I do.
All right.
Does it work out for you?
It does.
We got. Okay. Now and again, he does. Never. No, use a regular razor and shaving cream, right?
Yeah.
I'm never.
Okay.
All right, go ahead.
Hazard, why is it important to wet your face before you shave? Specifically, scientifically, what happens?
Don't do this with an electric razor, though.
No, never, ever. If you are a safety razor or a straight blade razor, which, by the way, is coming back.
Yeah, I've been coming back for a long time.
Why is it important to wet your face before you shave? Specifically, what happens?
Wet your face before shaving?
Yeah, you wet your face, you put on the foam, and you shave. That's the way you're supposed to do it. Why? Alan will come to you after Mr. Hazard here.
This is fascinating.
Yeah.
They used to put on shaving cream with electric razors back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
So there's a reason why. Why is it important to wet your face before you shave?
Well, as you know, or you may not know, I am a conspiracy theorist, you know, one of them conspiracy type.
Mm-hmm.
The government told me to.
Really?
Yes, to use more water.
Use more water.
Yeah.
They want to support all of the municipal water workers.
That's it.
So you need to
Actually, what it does is it helps open up the pores.
Helps open up the pores.
Yeah.
And you're shaving your pores.
Well, you want your,
right. You want to wet your pores so you can shave the pores.
You don't want your hair is growing every which way. You want to.
You don't know.
I don't know. I'm trying to make something up here.
Chuck isn't doing one of his laughs. His silent laughing.
My silent laugh.
Did your father ever give you advice on shaving when you
yes,
were younger?
Yes, he said, don't be in such a hurry.
Right, don't be in such a hurry. Wet your face first.
No, he meant don't be in such a hurry to want to shave.
Oh, yeah, it's a pain. Yeah, I know. Specifically, why should we wet the face before we shave?
Hazard, are you going to look gonna, at Little Miss Molly there, or are we going to...
Oh, no, yeah, I threw a towel in. Whatever.
You don't know, right?
All right, Hazard gets a big goose egg on that.
Give me a goose egg on it.
Goose egg. Who goes next, Chuck or...
Alan, I'll defer to you because you're our guest.
Okay, I will try. I think it's because the warm water expands the whisker.
Oh, you may be onto something there. How do you explore that one?
I just remember reading it somewhere years ago.
Okay. So what does that render the whisker?
More flexible. More.
More of it to grab.
Yeah. Hmm. Does it maybe loosen the whisker from the pore a little bit?
Well, the whisker isn't in the pore. Well, yeah, it is technically, but no.
Okay.
No.
All right.
You're getting warm.
I'm getting warm.
You're getting warm.
That's a good play on words.
Yeah.
Okay.
Chuck, what say you?
It makes them stand up on your face, makes them a little more accessible to the blade as it goes across your skin.
Okay. Is that what we've got there?
Yeah.
I don't know that I can improve on that.
Anyone? Anyone? Anyone want to change?
No. How about this guy?
You're in with... Well, unfortunately, you're all wrong.
Oh, see? Okay. Why did I go with you?
You were wrong before that, so it doesn't really matter.
So it didn't matter.
When saturated with water, the strength of a single strand of hair is approximately one-third less than the strength of a dry hair.
No kidding.
Making it easier to shave.
So it weakens.
It weakens the hair.
The hair.
Follicle.
Interesting.
So that's why you want to wet the hair before you put on the shaving cream. So it lubricates and it's easier to cut.
I do trim up the bottom, in my defense.
Yeah,
I
you do.
Still
and you
shave.
Look, you rock that beard very well.
Do I?
Yeah, I wish I could have the courage to grow a beard like that. But
you know,
I had a beard once.
You did. I liked it. Your mom told you to shave it off.
Yeah, she didn't like the beard. My nieces didn't like the beard. Now if I grow a beard, it's going to be maybe over the summer I'll grow a beard.
Rock the gray. Embrace the gray, Ron. Yeah, embrace the gray.
I told an ex-girlfriend to do that, and she knocked my block off. So,
did she?
Yeah.
It's what, like, to embrace the gray?
Yeah. Uh-huh. She was very attractive, and her white gray hair would look even more attractive. But I just, fake hair color does nothing for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I understand it's a vanity issue. Okay, here you go. Let's redeem you.
Back to hair.
Back to hair. Question number two, Mr. Hazard.
Yep.
By the way, your hair looks fabulous. It's got little gray highlights in it. I like it. What?
It looks. Why are you shooting that look of death at me? He's the one who said you had gray hair.
When does hair grow faster? During the day or at night? Hair grows, we know that. When does the hair grow faster? During the day or during the night?
Little known fact, but it grows a lot Saturday night.
It grows a lot.
Doesn't do anything on Sunday.
Takes Sunday off. It's the follicle's day of rest. When hair grows, when does it grow faster? During the day or during the night?
I'm going to say there's no difference.
There is no difference. Alan, what say you?
I'll say this is just a guess, during the day.
During the day. Chuck, what say you?
I'm going to say in the evening. Now, would you like to hear my logic behind
that? Yes, I would love to hear your logic.
Logic is because you can go to bed and not need to shave, and when you wake up, you need to shave. It says your hair grows at night.
But when does it grow faster?
At night.
At night.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Alan, what's the answer?
I'll go with day.
Yep. Hair grows faster during the day than at night.
No kidding.
Yeah. Interesting.
The body shuts down at night, most of it.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you shouldn't eat at night, because your body needs to rest.
Yeah, whatever.
All right. Mm-hmm. Question number three. Here we go, Hazard. In a 1977 interview, Fidel Castro told Barbara Walters that he would have been a clean-shaven revolutionary, but for this. What happened? Why did he grow that beard?
Why did he grow the beard?
Yeah, Fidel Castro told Barbara Walters back in 1977 that he would have been a clean-shaven revolutionary, but for this. What happened? Why did he grow the beard?
Oh, it was the U.S. embargo of shavers, electric shavers.
Electric shavers?
I've got two answers for this.
Okay. Is that your answer?
No, actually, answer number two is Vladimir Putin told him to.
Vladimir Putin told him. Vladimir wasn't even around.
Oh, that's right.
So you're saying embargo.
He had it on.
In 1977, Fidel Castro told Barbara Walters that he would have been clean-shaven, but for this. What happened? And you're saying an embargo.
He specifically set an embargo on electric razors.
Okay.
For the record.
For the record, okay.
For the record. But this happened.
Why did he grow the beard? And Hazard says it was because of an embargo on electric razors.
Mm-hmm. That's what he said.
All right. Embargo. Need an answer.
I don't know. He was on the run. He didn't have access to regular shaving. I don't know.
Hazard, you're not doing very good.
You're not doing very well.
Even your jokes aren't funny.
I know. They're dying tonight. It's bad.
Okay, so he didn't have access to...
water, running water.
Okay.
Couldn't shave.
There was an embargo.
Yeah. He's trying to hand it to you on a platter, Hazard. Pay attention. Put down your phone for a minute.
Think of it. This would have been in the late 50s, early 60s. The embargo wasn't in place yet. So, all right. There was an embargo of regular shavers. There you go. There you go. There's my answer officially.
Alan, what say you?
Okay. I'm gonna go way out on a limb. I'm probably wrong, but I'm just going to take a guess anyway. I'm going to say he probably had some markings on his face that he was self-conscious about and didn't
Okay, so he wants to disguise his face.
Yeah.
Chuck.
That was one of my answers.
Okay. In a 1977 interview, Fidel Castro told Barbara Walters that he would have been a clean-shaven revolutionary, but for this, why?
I'm going to go with, my answer was more specific than Alan's, actually, but I saw your little tail wag when Hazard said an embargo on electric shavers.
Mm-hmm.
So, but you were kind of said electric shavers? Like maybe it was regular razors that he couldn't get his hands on, which...
Okay, so why wouldn't he be able to...
get his hand on a regular razor?
Yeah.
No steel. There was a steel embargo.
Ooh, that's a good one, actually.
But Ron...
I'm trying so hard.
You're trying so hard to give it to us.
Yeah.
So it's regular razors.
Regular razors.
Why could...
1957, 58, 59. He's running around where?
He's in Cuba.
He's in Cuba.
Where in Cuba?
Havana.
Where? It's in the mountains.
Yeah. Oh, there's no power. They didn't have access to electricity.
You don't need power to shave, Hazard.
We didn't have access to electric shavers. Who knows? I don't know.
Okay.
Who's
I'm calling
closest?
This.
Who's closest?
You are closer.
All right. I get half a point.
There you go.
Embargo? The hell? There was no embargo. There wasn't an embargo then.
Stop. The reason that Fidel Castro grew a beard is because his supply of Gillette razor blades had been cut off during his guerrilla days in the mountains of Cuba.
Isn't that what I said?
Yes.
Interesting.
I get a whole point for
that. So it was cut off by...
He was fighting in the mountains and there was no way to get razor blades to him, so...
Basically, what I said.
Oh, God. That's not an embargo.
Oh, my God.
That's not an embargo.
I wanted you to explore it. All right, final one here. We're running out of time.
Let me have my point, okay?
I'll take your point.
We're out of time, okay? All right, final one.
Thank God.
We've got less than 2 minutes to go.
No more music tonight, people.
Yeah, from what do you suffer if you have pseudofolliculitis barbae? From what do you suffer if you have pseudofolliculitis barbae? Pseudofolliculitis barbae.
That means you're allergic to barber brushes and you got to use stuff out of a can.
Pseudofolliculitis barbae.
Yeah, pseudofolliculitis barbae. What is that? What do you suffer from? Pseudofolliculitis barbae.
I don't know. Uneven skin.
Uneven skin. Alan, what say you?
Okay.
Please.
Again, I'm going to go out on a limb. I'm trying to go from the Latin. I mean, pseudo means false.
Folliculitis
means inflammation hair. Of the hair follicles.
Yes.
But the word false is what throws me. Barbae, that's a beard.
Right.
I'm going to say it probably has something to do with, the first thing that comes to mind is allergy to wigs, but that doesn't really make sense.
No, if you're shaving and you suffer from pseudofolliculitis barbae, what do you
cut yourself shaving. Oh, but I said it with such enthusiasm.
Chuck, what say you? Please help me. This one's just going down in flames. Pseudofolliculitis barbae. When you suffer from this, what do you have? You
are baldness.
No! That's alopecia. All right. Ready?
Yes.
Razor burn.
Oh, geez.
Well, that's kind of like cutting yourself shaving.
Yeah, it is. Close.
I'm giving Alan a point.
Give him a point on that one. All right, that's what we got here. Read back who won.
Alan did.
Yay, uh-huh. Alan.
Smartest man in the room once again.
You.
Thank you.
Wait, Hazard didn't get a point for that.
Man, this is like pulling hair.
Hazard went down in flames.
I know.
Nothing. He came with a big goose egg.
All right, we're going to wrap things up. Motor City Static here.
Pseudofolliculitis barbae.
Appreciate that.
Ron will give any one of the students a nod of enthusiasm tomorrow if they can come up to him and say pseudofolliculitis barbae.
Okay.
And call him a killjoy while you're at it, too.
Yeah, and don't be a dreadnought about it.
All right,
Motor City Static, we will be back next Sunday night. It'll be Palm Sunday. All right.
Palm Sunday, we'll hear all about Hazard's leading role as the big man.
Yeah, I'm going to be telling you
about that.
I'll be there. All right. Alan, thank you very much for taking time. I hope you enjoyed yourself.
Thanks for having me. I sure did.
You know, you don't need an invite. You can just show up any old time.
All right.
All right, Motor City Static on the Biff Radio Network.